This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The presidency has labeled Solidarity a tiny right-wing minority, you know, saying the organization's campaign ahead of the G20 leaders summit was unimportant and mindless. By yesterday, large-scale billboards and banners with "Welcome to the most race-regulated country in the world" appeared on some of Johannesburg's main roads. So, we're joined by Leto Brigger right now, as a political analyst and lecturer.
Good morning, Leto. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. I'm happy to have you on the show this morning. You know, now we are looking at this issue, the spotlight on South Africa. But with reports claiming that AfriForum and Solidarity played a huge role in triggering that US boycott of the G20 summit, what are your views on all of this and where we are right now?
Well, you know, the way AfriForum and Solidarity are acting, it's a desperate move of a very fringe group, right? But America right now is ripe for such things, right? For fake news, for non-trust of its own entities. So I think it's isolated to being a problem between South Africa's Afrikaners and Americans who want to believe false news and false narratives about race. And so, yes, it is effective for them in that way. But on the other hand, what they're trying to really achieve, I don't think they will get to the point that they're trying to achieve. Because if you're listening to some of their objectives, especially some of the more radical members of AfriForum, they're trying to get armed and be recognized as some kind of having some kind of statehood, like the Israelis were when they first entered Palestinian land and then basically started to annex it through weaponry and such things being supplied to them. I don't think America is at that level yet. Although this is a huge annoyance to a country that's trying to heal from a very divisive past, it shows that there are some people here who are not really here to be part of the rest. They love their position of being special while being amongst the rest.
Yeah, and while we're talking about this, the issue of BBBE, the conversation, how did that even factor in this whole thing? And maybe let's look at the accusations of, in inverted commas, the race-regulated country. Is it based on the BBBE narrative, or are there other regulations that they feel are race-based that they would like to tackle?
So, as an academic, I have to stress this, right? It's the importance of peer-reviewed research, right? So, universities and the likes, and most of the time think tanks as well, have people doing research for them, and then that research gets peer-reviewed and published, right? Instead, the Solidarities and AfriForum then start something called Institute for Race Relations, right? This institute publishes research that's not peer-reviewed, right? It's just them writing papers with no mechanism to make sure that those papers are honest and right and ethical, right? Then they don't even publish them. They self-publish those things and then peddle them to South African media as truth, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go and follow the methodology, what they say, these race-based laws, they went into the constitution, they went into all legislation, right? And then they took every word, like if a word is somehow related to race, like black equity, so they also say equity is a race-based word. And so whatever line, they don't even take the context of the line, by the way. They just take the word and say, if it says black or white, or gender, or black, or equity, that is a race-based law. And some of the laws are just mentioning equity as being a cornerstone of the law. It doesn't even have to say the law requires equity. It says this law is in place because equity is needed or redress is needed. So they go off of like this strange research that they do amongst themselves, but they then push it as the narrative for proper research in South Africa. And that's why we must also push the nature of credible peer-reviewed research, because Institute for Race Relations. It's not a research body. It's a fake research body. But because they have so much lobby money, they can pay each other to make up these fairy narratives that they then peddle to South African media.
Yeah, well, because of the very last point that you're making, in terms of what they have backing them, do you think it would be wise to underestimate them or not, taking into account what the presidency had said, that they're just a tiny right-wing minority group? Do you think we should pay attention because of if we undermine them, we might really be caught with our pants down?
I think engaging them gives them way more credibility than they actually deserve, right? Because, by the way, they're funded by people who love to sow discord, right? So whether or not we engage them, they'll always have funding because there are people who are racist in the world and would like to give other racists money. Mm-hmm. For instance, you look at Marine Le Pen in France and her right-wing party, which is now disintegrating because of the lack of funding that they're starting to get. But when they were causing discord in France, they were getting a lot of money to the point at which she was even driving a Rolls Royce, right? Even though her party was not in power. So there are people who love countries not being united because that lack of unity in those countries, somebody's just benefiting from them saying that and our currency not going up. Right? Because it influences the rent to hear that there is genocide happening here. Even though the genocide is not confirmed, if somebody says genocide and the stories are going across the world, it influences the rent. So there's some billionaire out there who just got a billion just from that mention of genocide. And so by doing such things, there are people with nefarious reasons for funding them. They probably don't even like them, but they'll fund them just to destabilize a country like South Africa. And so, but engaging them makes them seem more legitimate because we're engaging them on a point that everybody knows is false, right? Even the Americans now know it's false because remember, and this is not a widely covered story, but 3 weeks ago, they brought another plane to come and search Afrikaners. There were only 6 families there. And so now the whole narrative of genocide is actually dying away because if there's such a huge genocide, why are only 6 Afrikaner families going with you? Because even the Solidarities and the AfriForum don't actually want to leave here because by leaving here, they lose their advantage. And so they're not really getting their end, and now they're trying to throw their toys. This is a last-ditch effort with the billboards. And this is the last point. It's contradictory, isn't it? In a country where you say you're so oppressed and these race-based laws are making you so uncomfortable, yet you have the freedom to post whatever you like on billboards in order to make your point. You have these strange research bodies that try to make your point, and nobody's chastising you, nobody's arresting you. And so I think the more they engage in these sort of stunts, the more it makes them look stupid to the rest of the world.
All right, we'll leave the conversation here. It will be a continuing one. We'll keep eye and ear to the ground in terms of developments on this story. That's political analyst and lecturer Leah Dobrika.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.